shed cleanses my sin and redeems my life. For the sake of my sin, you die without regret to show your amazing grace. I deeply understand the preciousness of your love, thus dedicate myself to follow you to eternity. In times of hurts, of discouragement, isolation, or even death, I will be strong and courageous and never retreat. Oh, your steadfast love for me is from now till forever. It penetrates through my heart. The heavens and earth may pass away. The seas can dry up and fields all turn yellow. But your love for me shall keep me, and I will never be separated from you.
The song, the name of the song I'm going to sing is called Your Steadfast Love. It's based on Romans 8:35-39. So if you can flip, open your Bible and you meditate on it when I sing this song. It's going to be in Chinese.
You流出宝血，洗净我污秽。 将我的生命赎回，你为了我的罪，牺牲永不悔，怜悯你极大恩惠，我深深体会你爱的宝贵，献上自己永追随。 或伤心，或气馁，或胜利，或死别，愿刚强壮胆，永远不后退。哦，你爱永不变，从今直到永远，深深浇灌我心田，或天旋，或地转，经沧海里桑田。 都不能将我与你爱隔绝。你流出宝血，将我命赎回，献上自己永追随。或伤心，或气馁，或胜利，或死别，愿刚强壮胆，永远不后退。 哦，你爱永不变，从今直到永远，深深浇灌我心田。或天旋，或地转，经沧海里桑田，都不能将我与你爱隔绝。或天旋，或地转。 经沧海里桑田，都不能叫我与你爱隔绝。
Thank you so much for that song. That song means a lot to me, and you perhaps do not know to the extent of that meaning until perhaps sometime later, because that calls for an eternal relationship between me and God, and certainly between you and Him, to all those who know Him. And that's the topic that we are going to focus on today, is on the relationship. Before we go into that, as we wait for the computer to run up, I tell you how much it means to me on Friday night when we just sing a special happy birthday song to me. And the kids were just so lovely, and the cakes that Grandma and Grandpa prepared, and all of you just means a lot to me. I have something that I did wrong here. Yeah, there it is. And on this past Friday night, when people were flooding in and we were getting ready for them to, we just say the prayer and so forth, and within just a matter of minutes, people just ran in and they just came all over until we really ran out of tables and chairs. We had to get ready to, wanted to set up another one, but people began to squeeze into all these tables and get to sit down for one another. And so that also tell you what, that was not the right file. And as we were waiting for, you'll get a different file tonight, today. I'm sorry, I didn't get that floppy disk with me. But I'll still be able to use it just with what I have. I think the Spirit was telling me that I must not follow the outline, obviously, because I don't have my outline with me. But we will see what the Spirit is going to lead us into. But that Friday night is just a time that reminded me of how important it is we as family of God stay together, depend on each other, if we were going to reach out to so many lives that are coming to our midst, who needed just to have a time of fellowship, to feel the difference of the church family. And in fact, in my Bible study this morning, one of the things that we focused was the fact that God intends for His church family to be different. How different? To be different from this world. And what does it mean to be different from this world? If we were trying to live up a life that honors God, that glorifies God, what is it that we must do as a church family so that when the world look at us, and they can tell a difference? And that's what our study is going to focus on today, is on the returning of holiness, is on the fourth week on relationship. And I will tell you that there are, relationship is the whole key, the whole thing to Christianity. First starting out with our relationship with God. If there was no God, and if God is not our Father in heaven, not our Creator, if we do not recognize that very basic relationship, there is no starting point of our life. There is no starting point of a church. So let's look at, I'll tell you about two basic relationships in just a little bit, okay? But before we start it out, there is a statement by Oscar Thompson. And he says this, he said that the most important word in the English language, apart from the proper nouns, the most important word in the English language is relationship. How do we understand that if we look at just two things? Like I said, if we do not know that there is God, and God being the creator of the universe, creator of every life that ever existed, and certainly every life that is here today in presence of our Almighty God today. If such relationship does not exist, there is no purpose, there is no meaning for that cross to be in the middle between us and Him. That's the very fundamental relationship. We got to have a vertical relationship with God, who treasures relationship. In fact, His own name is categorized or even expressed in family relationship. God the Father, God the Son, got the Spirit, three in one, perfect Trinity. Then there is also the believers and the other believers. There is a relationship between us, each and every one of us, and our relationship with each other person. That is also a very, very important relationship, because in God's commandment to us, if you recall, He simply says, first of all, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's number one vertical relationship. Apart from that, nothing exists, nothing ever will be meaningful. Nothing will be truly speak of meaning that is of eternal value. But the second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That horizontal relationship, that there is the interpersonal relationship, that there is a relationship between you and me that is so different from this world. Why? Because in this church family, we are truly unto each other brothers and sisters. Not just brothers and sisters in the physical terms. I mean, we have our each family members of our own. And we have our children, we have our parents, we have our own family that we each must take hold the preciousness of their lives. But in the family setting, in a church family, God called us into a special relationships now between each and every one of us as a member unto each and every one of someone else. That we relate to each other in terms of brothers and sisters in Christ. And this relationship is so binding, so loving, so forgiving of one another, so understanding of each other, so sacrificial unto one another because of the characteristic of Christ Jesus. Because of that vertical relationship between us and God, the Almighty, that we have now the relationship between you and me as believers, now a relationship of brothers and sisters in Christ. And that horizontal relationship is going to set apart this family, this church family, from the world. Are you following me? You are to be different. You are, as a family of God, are to be different from the world. So when anyone who knew that God exists and they want to see God and they want to find out what God really is, how God really so much cared for them and loved them that He sent His only one and begotten Son to die for all men, not just now, us now as a family, but that God come and want to save the world, and yet this world will come to this church family of God, and they will find out that this church family is so different from this world because they treat one another so differently from the way that the people treat each other in the world. We are to be different. How are we to be different? Love. We love one another unconditionally because Christ does so to us. We love one another with the profound forgiveness. One another not thinking about any of the wrongdoings or the things that are hurting us, but that we are so forgiving of one another. We so love one another because of the sacrificial love that Christ has demonstrated to us through what He did. And so we are to be different from this world. The horizontal relationship with other people is very important. Because God is love and He treasures relationship, as I said a moment ago, that He expressed Himself in family terms. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. So the moment that we place our faith in Christ and God becomes our Father, we become His children. And other believers become our brothers and sisters. Now that's basic enough. That's fundamental enough. The basis for forming good relationship is something that deserve our attention, deserve our review, deserve our time to look into. The foundation of a right relationship with one another is a close relationship with God. Oh, when I came from China, you know, I came from a society that is so interdependent, okay? Everything that you do, you must do out of relationship. 中国话叫你要做什么事情要讲关系哦，对不对？要谈关系的。 So if you want to do anything, get it done, you need to know the officers in certain bureau in order to go through these bureaucratic procedures to get the thing done. 讲关系嘛，要谈关系, okay? And I'm talking about that background. Now that background, if you relate to any world situations, a lot of things you say, oh, the reason you were able to accomplish something is because you know somebody who can do somebody for you. Okay? So relationship is important from that regard. And if you look at that regard and you say, what is the essential foundation of a good relationship? Then you would express in worldly terms, oh, exchange of gifts, exchange of visits, building up relationship, knowing each other, you know, and so on and so forth, which is important to a relationship that is interpersonal. Now, the relationship that we are addressing right now is of important meaning. Not talking about the things that we want to get done on this world, but things that are of eternal value. Things that we are onto each other, how we relate to one another. Because we can't relate to one another as believers until we relate each and every one of us with God. And so, on that basis, the very foundation of the right relationship with one another is then a close relationship with God. And in order for us to then close relate to God, then we can relate to Him impersonally. We can't relate to Him just saying, spending a few minutes of a day with Him and wishing that He would show His love and His character and everything to us without us making our efforts to maintain a good relationship with Him. Huh? Does it make sense? If we were going to treasure a relationship that is so precious between us and God, if we were to treasure our relationship unto each other as brothers and sisters, what is the very foundational, what is the most basic thing that we must hold on to? That is our relationship with God. We must spend time and do it. You can hardly see this, but this says that most problems today are not theological. Most problems when it comes to relationship, people we're going to try to deal with, is not because of theological issues that we cannot resolve a relationship issue, but rather it's relational. Personality clashes, personality conflicts, etc. and etc. And from here on, we will have not to use it. Because my new file is on a floppy disk, and so forgive me on that. But I want to show you a graphic picture that shows the relationship between the Father and Son and His children and us onto each other horizontally. Then let's look at it. If we say, okay, the most problems today that we face are not theological, but rather they are relational, then let's look at this. There are five areas that this book, Returning to Holiness, has helped us to bring to the face of God. The number one is based on Matthew chapter 5, 23, 24, and it reads this. This is answering the question that this book asks. And the book asks this. Can you think of people that you may have hurt or discouraged? Okay? Or offended? The word. Can you think of a person that you have hurt or offended? And that's the first category of questions that we must look at in our relationship with one another. And the scripture used was Matthew 5:23-24. It says, so if you are standing before the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Now, the primary teaching of this scripture says that we must do something. We must do something first between our relationship with whoever that we may have hurt or offended before we can approach God and say, God, you forgive me for what I have done. That's the primary teaching. God says clearly, if you have offended someone, if you have hurt someone, get that resolved. Don't let it be staged in your mind, and yet you come to Him and ask for His blessing. All you need to do is simply to go to the person in humility and in loving and forgiving spirit and say, I'm sorry, I have hurt you, I have offended you. Would you forgive me? And once that step is taken, now, if that person does not forgive you, it's not your responsibility anymore. It's their responsibility, but you must take the initiative to do that first step and fulfill the primary teaching of this scripture that says we must do something. We must put that aside because we remember someone is against you. Leave your sacrifice there besides the altar. Go and reconcile to that person. And when you do this, the world look at you as a church and they will be shocked, because that's not the worldly concept of how we deal with relationships. The second question that was asked was, are you bitter or holding grudges against someone who has offended you? Now, it's the other side of the relationship, the other side of the equation now. Okay, are you bitter or are you holding grudges against someone who has offended you? So what is the scripture that he used here to encourage us to find that? It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, which is the theme verse today. And it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. That is a very serious biblical admonition in the fact that we must learn to be forgiving. The first step is loving, is forgiving from our side. Now is the loving and the forgiving on the other side. When you are bitter or when you are holding grudges against someone, because many people hold secret bitterness against not only believers unto each other, but even sometimes in our social circle, in the friends that we know, and at times even strangers. In fact, in the book, it mentioned even some political leaders you could hold your grudges against because their moral value is different from yours, and you are so different from them that you become critical of them and not be praying for them. Huh? We must, in cases like this, to focus on the sins and not on the sinner. We must always hate the sins, but always love the sinner. That's how we can be so different from the world again. If we're going to talk about the relationship that is going to be a matter to God, that will truly help us to be strong Christians, and also to share that value with the people that are yet to know who God is, then let's show them how God would have treated us, because we must forgive them in order that God will forgive us. So no Christian, if we put it in this term or this way, no Christian can be holding grudges with another Christian. We cannot not be praying for one another. We cannot not forgiving the other. Because if we don't, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. If we hold bitterness that is going on secretly in our hearts, it can become like a cancer that eats away at our hearts, that really comes into effect of our relationship with one another. And in fact, eventually, it's going to hurt us personally first, even physically, the things that we hold mentally. Because that secret bitterness needs to be released the grudges we are holding against any individual must be let go. We must learn to forgive so that our Father in heaven will forgive us. The third question that challenges us in this book is, are you involved in improper relationships? Now, the scripture that used here was Exodus 20:14 and 1 Thessalonians 5:22, both deal with adultery or adulterous relationship. But we know that involving improper relationships sometimes do not just address to the very issue of an apparent moral misconduct. Certainly, if anyone is involved in adulteries or fornication or any other things that is so openly rebellious against the Word of God, we must come before Him for forgiveness. But there is other issues that were being discussed and talked about in this paragraph in the book. It's some of this relationship perhaps we haven't recognized, and yet it's developing. An example that I give you would be, you know, perhaps two people working in the same office, a man and a woman. Both of them are happily married. Both of them have their spouses. And yet, these two perhaps has grown in their relationship in such a way that they go out and eat lunch together. They discuss things together, and sometimes to a level of intimacy that is inappropriate. You go out and you do different things, and you didn't recognize how much you have taken away the time and the commitment that the other spouse of the other person is due to their spouses. And you are taking away that relationship onto you, not realizing that you already are being involved in a very improper relationship. There are several dangers that can come through that relationship. One is that kind of improper relationship eventually could take a romantic turn, don't you think? The second danger is when the outsiders look at this and say, oh, perhaps they are a couple. But when in reality they are not. They both need to be loyal to their spouses. There are other dangers that this kind of improper relationship could hurt. This book is helping us to say we must stay away from that kind of relationship. There is fourth question that this book has challenged us, and it says, do you neglect regular fellowship and meaningful service through your church? Should we skip this one? I mean, this is a hard issue. This is a head-on issue to each and every believer. Do we truly, as a part of the church family, seek and look forward and desire an open, authentic, a genuine fellowship unto each other? Do we in our hearts have such a passion and desire that we want to go and fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters? Were we able to set aside the things that are on our agenda, perhaps has clouded our agenda so much that we neglect the importance of having a fellowship and a worship with our own brothers and sisters within the church family? That's the challenge that is being asked here. The scriptures that was used here was Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, Christ is coming back, and He's coming back so soon. And we got a task to do. We got something to do. And God is bringing the mission field to our midst. It's not like that we don't have anything to do. There is so much to do. There is so much opportunities for us to share with this world how much we love one another as brothers and sisters, as we grow and as we fellowship, as we disciple one another, as we study Bible together, as we do all these things together, and in a loving, in a forgiving, in a kind, in a way that this world look at this way that we treat with one another, and they were shocked. They said, I don't see this in the world. I want to be a part of a family like this. That's how our Heavenly Father revealed His character. When Brother Kim prayed, for example, he mentioned all these names of God being all of this character, a comforter, our Father, a creator, whatever the name, every one of them reveals certain characters that will allow us to relate to one another in ways that this world will look at us and say, this is so different. And I want to be a part of that. They forgive one another. There is no offense when it comes to one another. They desire to be together. And God our Father love us in such a way that we would be, they're going to fix in some food. That's what I think they're doing. So it is important that we must take serious words about, a serious consideration about the Word of God. I think of an occasion, and I don't know if I should. When I was growing up young, my family was the poorest in the area that we lived in, the whole county, 300-some thousand, you know, city. Our family was known to be the poorest family. And I am the youngest of five, okay? So when we were little, we had hardly to eat. Not only porridge, the porridge is very thin, just watery porridge. No, not even pickle. Pickles is a luxury when it comes to food, okay? But I take great pride in my family, as each of you would take great pride in your family. I took great pride of my father, who didn't finish his elementary school, perhaps. And I love my brothers and my sisters. If anyone would say anything against my brothers and sisters, I'd be on your face. The reason I mention that is, as a church family, if you have a church that you desire to want to fellowship with one another, you really love one another, you don't care what these other persons outside of this church family will say against you. Is that a good point? Because there are so much of this world, the pattern of this world, that easily can infiltrate into a church that we do not recognize. That's again another approach that this book is addressing. It's so unfortunate when we look at the churches and the issues that are going on. We didn't recognize how easily we allow the worldly pattern of thought to infiltrate into our mindset. And whatever the world is doing in a way of talking, in a way of a negative thinking about certain things and certain people and certain approach, we let them come into the church. And we didn't recognize that the Bible and the way that we are intended to be so different from this world, is that we must hold on to that relationship, that we are onto each other. Brothers and sisters, we are a family. And we are a family that is so loving, so forgiving, so kind onto each other, that we would make it a different family than the families in this world. The fifth, and certainly not the least, question that this book is challenging us is a proper family relationship. And some of those questions are so convicting. The question is so simple. He said, are your family relationship consistent with God's word? That is a simple question, but it brought into several categories as to how our relationship as husband and wife, as fathers to children, between wives to husbands, and between our relationship with our children. Many scriptures that has brought out to help us maintain a proper relationship in those different areas. And I would encourage you to take a look in that book in details as you go back home. And those are so very valuable. But let me just ask you a few questions, and it can help you just tremendously, even if you think about this. Between, say, husbands, there's special words to husband, and you ask, husbands, have you taken responsibility to lead your family in devotion and in prayer? Father is the spiritual leader of every family. And if we as a church, as believers, want to look seriously into our relationship with God, let's look into our relationship first within our family, which is the challenge on the fifth area in this book. And we as husbands or the fathers of families have the responsibility to take up that leadership. The second question is said, do you set a loving atmosphere of spiritual nurture and training? Again, that is a big responsibility, we as fathers, that I would encourage that you set a loving atmosphere of spiritual nurture and training of both your wife and your children. There are special words for wives too. And questions like, wives, do you ever treat your husband with dishonor and disrespect? Chris was shaking his head. No, never, not in the... But should we take serious questions and concerns to ask the question? Because Bible is clear that you must respect your husbands. And we must treat them with, must not treat them with dishonor and disrespect. And again, the world look at us as a church family or as a believer and say, look at their wives. Look at their wives. How they have treated their husband. I want to be a part of that. I want to be like that. Because I know that that's a pattern that's going to honor God. And not only that, that's going to be a pattern that's going to honor our relationship. Our relationship is going to be forever, going to be enriched because of the way that the Bible teaches us. Questions like, do you often point out his weaknesses and faults? How easy for wives to do that? A lot more often than certainly husbands onto wives. That's why these questions are being addressed to the wives. And I would encourage you as the spouses, the wives would take serious consideration how we must look into our husbands and encourage them and exhort them and allow them to be the spiritual family, leaders of their family. Excuse me. Do you patiently forgive and treat him kindly in spite of shortcomings? That's another good question for wives to look into their husbands and say, do you patiently, and the question is, do you patiently forgive and treat them in kindly in spite of their shortcomings? Those five areas are all areas worth us taking note and consideration and prayer. For now, I'm going to conclude with this story that many of you are very familiar with. Jesus was trying to tell the people about what heaven is like. And don't you want to know what heaven is like? Don't you want to know what heaven is like? And Jesus was giving them a very simple analogy. He was telling them by telling a story on the unmerciful servant of him. Of a unmerciful servant. There is a story that is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35. And let me quickly read it to you, just for the sake that some may not be very familiar. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. That's in millions of dollars in today's term. That is just a lot of money. No one can repay back, okay? 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wives and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's very little money. 100 denarii. He grabbed him. He began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knee and begged, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into the prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. How do I know heaven by this? Our Father in heaven is loving and kind and forgiving. He is ready to forgive any and all men that have sinned against him, believers and unbelievers alike. But by the same token, he demands that once he cancels the debt that we owed him, and did we not owe him big debt that we cannot repay, a debt of denial, a debt of unknowing him, a debt of disobedience. We have so much debt at one time in each of our lives that we knew that we had no hope unless we have Christ Jesus in our personal Lord and Savior. And yet, once that relationship takes place, the next step God says, because I forgive you, as I have forgiven you that unmerciful servant of 10,000 talents, any number that you cannot repay, if that number, you cancel that debt by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. No one owed debt so much that it cannot be forgiven. God, our Heavenly Father, is ready to forgive any and all men so long as we are willing to turn our hearts to him. But by the same token, he said, from the moment that you accept him, then you need to learn to be forgiving. When someone else owes you just 100 denarii, just 100 denarii, someone may have offended you, someone may have hurt you, someone may have just misunderstood you, someone that you knew that was so dear to you as part of your family, perhaps from your very own family. That's why the scripture says so clearly between the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, co-workers, children between children. If there is any and all things that have happened in your relationship with any other one individual, treat it as 100 denarii. It's not an amount that you cannot forgive. Because our God the Father has already forgiven the 10,000 talents that you are to repay. What the heaven is like. There is full of love, joy, peace, no sickness. It's a place where you spend your eternity. And this heaven will not contain sin. This heaven that our God the Father has set for each and every one of us to inherit has no room for sins. And as a church family, in order for us to be different from this world, we must show them the way that God has loved us, as he has shown us in this simple analogy of how heaven is like. we are each forgiven of our sin. How much more we shall forgive one another of the little things that we have with one another. And that is the foundation of a close relationship with God the Father, in order that then we will have the correct relationship that is horizontal onto each other. As we sing the time for the song of invitation, let me challenge you with these several questions. If you are not a believer, I really encourage that you seek and understand God in His character. He is a loving, forgiving God. He desires to have a first personal relationship with you and tell you how much He loves you because He has created you. He loves you. And through that relationship, as you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He is going to grant you wisdom and understanding that is beyond this world. You can't see, you can't find. And I assure you, after learning and studying so many years, that there is no other book than the Bible, the Holy Word, that will give us the wisdom for living. But if we are believers, take serious the Word of God that says we shall forgive one another. If we don't, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. And the maximum we owe unto each other is 100 denarii. But our Heavenly Father has canceled the debt with us, which is 10,000 talents.